Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 70 for Thursday, September 8th, 2011. And yes, we have the Motorola Droid Bionic. You have the Motorola Droid Bionic. We all have the Droid Bionic, and there was much rejoicing. I'm Phil Nickinson, your host for this little show and the editor of AndroidCentral.com. With us tonight, we have Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Howdy, guys.
And Alex Dobie from England.
Good morning.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Very morning, isn't it?
It is very morning.
You're up late anyway. I don't know why. I apologize for that. And from the Android Central forums, we have Corey Streeter.
Happy Bionic Day.
Is it? Is it really Yes. Happy Bionic Day?
Yes.
So, what, Corey, what's the mood in the forums? Because, I mean, these guys have been waiting months.
Oh, my God. It has been so insane. I'm just like, God, would this phone come out already? Because these poor people have just been... I mean, literally, it reminds me of myself, right? Just staying up all night waiting for the latest news. You know, I think it's just like any other phone. A lot of people are expressing the typical issues that you see on new phones and trying to figure things out. But overall, I think people are pretty happy. It seems to be a good phone, and I don't see a lot of disappointment from people. So,
well, we'll get more into the Bionic in a second. Little background for those of you joining us for the very first time. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. We do this live on Thursday nights. We have a live chat room, whom I'm waving to right now, though they can't see me. Hi, chat room. How are you? How's it going? And you can listen to this in recorded fashion later, which I know a lot of you are. So what are we going to talk? We're going to talk Droid Bionic. We have to. It's finally here. I've got one. Been playing with it all day. What else? Alex, you were at a Sony Ericsson thing yesterday. And how many phones did you see? You saw like six phones.
Four. We've got a couple of hands-on things with some non-phone stuff that, you okay. know, docks and whatnot.
Cool. I got to play with some mid-range stuff, which is kind of different for me, so we'll do that. What else? That's it. I don't know. Let's talk Droid Bionic. Should we just launch into that, maybe?
I reckon you ought to.
So it's quite possibly the worst phone I've ever... No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man.
I guess we need to tell... Do we need to recap the horrible story of the Droid Bionic?
Hey, I just will.
So if you don't know the story, it's probably the strangest launch I've ever seen for a phone. This thing sort of was announced way back in January at CES. I was there at the Motorola... was it the Motorola or Verizon? I forget which one. Press conference, and we got up and we played with it, and we said, hey, that's cool. And if I remember correctly, it was one that the software wasn't really done, so they didn't... I think it was the Bionic they didn't let us play with. January fades away, and we didn't expect to see the thing for a couple months anyway. And then we see the... HTC Thunderbolt, which was also announced at the same time we see it finally released, and then, you know, a couple other lower end phones. And as it, you know, the months and weeks kind of crept along, they killed the phone basically, right? It was a whole nother hardware version. So what I'm holding in my hand right now is not what we saw announced in January. They have two code names. The original one was the, what was it? I know the new Etna. Etna was the code name for the old one. The one I'm holding now was codenamed the Targa, and still is. And it's a totally different hardware platform. Now, I mean, if you look at the specs, they're not overly different. I keep thinking today, what must they have changed? I mean, when the Thunderbolt was announced, there were not huge LTE issues, but some LTE issues, right? Was it radio stuff? I'm trying to remember. Do you guys remember?
Well, I mean, there was so many rumors flying around. The biggest rumor was that the Tegra 2 wouldn't work with the LTE hardware. But we don't know if that's true or not.
Right. In fact, that is the big difference, because this is running a dual-core TIO MAT processor, which, other than what it would work with, I really don't care. Like,
right.
It doesn't feel any different to me than a Tegra 2 processor does. Or
I spent a lot of time with that phone at CES, and It actually, you know, they did let us touch it and play around with it.
That was you with me.
That phone was actually a very, very, it was, when I picked it up and felt it, and I mean, it was very, very different than any other Motorola phone that I've seen. It was a lot, you know, there's a lot of it wasn't bad. I thought it looked pretty good, but they really veered away from that rugged, hardcore, durable feel. It was It was a lot of plastic. rounded on the corners. They were really hot, you know, and they were locking it. So, yeah, you're right. They have the – you can't judge phones by what you see at CES, but these phones seem to have, compared to some of the other phones that they were, you know, like HTC and some of the other guys that were showing off phones, these seem to be a little bit worse off than some of those other ones. And so I think they just – said, you know what, this doesn't pass the Motorola sniff test, and we're going to scrap this and redesign it and make it right.
It's just so bizarre that they announced it at CES, though, and then just killed it. I mean, I know we talked last week about how it was weird for T-Mobile to have the Galaxy S2 there, but we weren't allowed to play with it. You know, we weren't allowed to touch it. It was under glass. We've seen that before. But, you know, to go through the motions of completely announcing a phone like that, now at least they didn't, like, send out review units and then pull them back or something, which would have been crazy. I was surprised that we haven't seen any of the old versions on eBay or anything. I mean, it was almost like they melted them down 2 weeks later, and that was it. I think we had one of the last leaks where you saw it. Somebody had sent in a bunch of pictures, and that was it. And it was pretty soon after that that we started seeing Target leaks. I guess let's just talk about the phone itself. So, Jerry, you asked me the question you were asking in the pre-show.
Is it the Droid 3 minus the keyboard?
Yes.
That's what I expected.
It's like halfway between the Droid 3 and the Photon. It's got the and the Droid X3. And that was kind of what I was thinking. All right, so we have the Droid X2, right? Which is probably, what, 80% exactly like the Droid X, only with dual core?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, and then you have this, which actually looks more like the Droid X2 and X3. It's got the same color scheme, the same chin. The screen is like the Photon. The design is more like the Droid X. So, yeah, and it's a good thing, right? I think they took the best part of those three phones and put them into this. And I haven't really used the camera yet, but, you know, it's looking like the camera's going to be decent as well. But yeah, so my question at this point is, where did it fit in, and how did they rearrange the schedule? I gotta believe that maybe they didn't intend to put out the Droid X2 either as quickly as they did, or something. Like, maybe this was supposed to be the sequel. Or maybe this was supposed to be the Droid X3. Maybe.
I think they had to get a Bionic out there.
Well, yeah, they had to do something.
They made such a big deal out of it. I will add that, you know, there was that gigantic thread in the forums from one of our members, BWorley50, who posted like 24 videos of the Bionic.
Oh yeah,
he got it a little bit early. He was saying, because he had the Droid 3 before he had the Bionic, and he was saying that it performed a lot faster than the Droid 3 did. Like he did extensive testing and, you know, kind of did a bunch of the stuff that he did with the Droid 3, and he said it was a lot faster and smoother. So
not surprising, and it's been a while since I used the Droid 3, but I'm willing to bet it is just because it has a full gig of RAM in it.
Yeah, and that makes a big difference.
It makes a huge difference. We saw that in the Photon and the Evo 3D, right?
Yeah.
You know, with Sense especially. No, this thing is very fast, very smooth. Still have a few pauses. Just in kind of the animation transitions, and I really think that's a software thing and not a hardware thing at all. But yeah, it's fast. It's very familiar. It's the exact same, you know, version of Filbler or you know, close enough. I'm sure there's like a point difference or whatever. You know, so if you've used any of those other phones, the Droid 3, a couple of the updates to the other ones, it's exactly the same UI. Hasn't changed one bit. Or if it has, not enough to really make a difference. I mean, the hardware's familiar. It's like a fat Droid X. It's a little bigger. Wait, no, it's not bigger. The Droid X was 4.3 as well, wasn't it? You know, it's definitely thicker. But, you know, the thing I kept thinking about today was all the hype. And I understand, you know, we're probably as much the cause as anybody else. I'd say us and Droid Life are probably the two biggest culprits here. But the hype... Is it worth the hype? Does it live up to the hype? I don't think it lives up to the hype. I'm not sure anything can. This is not Yeah, this is not a bad phone at all. This is a really, really good phone. I wish this had been put out instead of the Droid X2. There are going to be a lot of people who bought the Droid X2 looking at this, and rightfully so. Because once you go, especially if you live in an LTE area, because once you go LTE, it's really, really tough to go back.
It was weird hype, too. Like, the promotions and marketing they were doing for it was, like, just a little strange.
Yeah. Like,
well, a gigantic head.
Nobody sent you a giant alien head, yeah. Which, by the way, we're going to give away at the end of the podcast tonight. If you
that was promised to me. You all won't believe what Phil made me do. No, I'm just saying it, try to make you feel guilty.
Hey, I mean, if anybody wants to pay me, I'll, you know, get it out of my house. That's kind of the idea.
I'm not allowed to have it. I was already told I'm not allowed to have it.
No, we just passed 100,000 followers on Twitter, so we're going to give it out to a Twitter follower at some point in the evening, so stay tuned. Yeah, and I mean, the marketing was what it is, and I don't read too much into that because Verizon's going to do whatever Verizon wants to do, and that's fine. That's different than it's different than the hardware. It's different than Motorola. I mean, that's a whole separate entity, and that's fine. And kind of getting too much inside baseball there. It's a really, really good phone. I, at this point, see no reason not to get it. This does have all the Motorola WebTap stuff available to it. It's got two docks. I need to go look at that some more, but I was buying accessories today. He's like, which dock do you want? I'm like, what? Why do you have more than one? And I guess one is like an HDMI dock or something, and the other one's just a plain 3.5. I don't know. It's a little odd, and if that's really what it is, and they're trying to squeeze money out of people, and that's not cool. And it's got some weird adapter for it, and it's like, really? I mean, WebTap needs to go, right? Am I in mixed company on that?
No.
It's an awesome idea that they either need to fix or abandon.
Well, what do you think's broken with it?
It's too damn slow.
Yeah.
Yep. It's just too damn slow.
And it costs the same as a laptop.
It's unnecessary.
Well, yeah. If you're going to do something like it needs to be like $100. $200 at the most.
So can you, maybe you could do this on the Droid 3 too, I don't know, but I heard that you can hide apps using Moto's, like, launch, like, you can hide the Verizon stuff, and you can actually uninstall Blockbuster and, what's the other one, Let's Golf, have you tried that yet?
I haven't tried, let's try right now. I think what they're probably doing, instead of hiding, is making a new group, and then, and then just looking at the grouping that doesn't have those apps. Yeah. I'm willing to bet. No, I really like Motorola's launcher a lot. I think I've done some really good things with this. I'm still not crazy about the color. You want to talk Pentile for a minute?
Oh, my Lord. That is a very heavily debated conversation.
All right.
In the forums.
For those of you who have avoided this conversation, and I don't blame you in the least, hey, by the way, this Blockbuster app, if you don't want it on there, it's all up 12K. But yeah, let's see if you can, I do not see an uninstall button on here, so you can't do it quite that easily. All right, so Pentile, if you don't know what it is, it's a form of basically the way the subpixels are made up, right? Am I explaining that correctly? Yes?
Yeah, that's a good way to explain it.
Close enough.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't even care what the technology is. I could care less about that. All I know is half the time I'm looking at something, I see these little, I'm calling it a checkerboard, or it's almost like little tiny black dots, especially if you're looking at like a white background or a gray background. And if you do a screenshot of the screen and you look at it on the computer, it looks just fine. But looking at it on the phone, it's weird. And it's really apparent when you move the phone, like any sort of motion is what I notice it the most. And it's, you know, long been a bone of contention. What other phones is it on? It's on the Photon.
All the AMOLED screens have it, but it's different on AMOLED, so...
Yeah.
You'll see that thrown around, but it's...
Right, and it's different on these Motorola phones for whatever reason. The Droid X2 was the same way.
The 3? I don't remember the 3 being that way.
I don't remember
Droid 3's Pentile, I do believe, and the Atrix.
That's something my OCD brain would, like, zero in on, but I don't remember seeing that on the 3. So it must not be that bad.
I'm trying to decide if it just bothers me less on the Bionic, or if I've read other people saying it bothers them less, and therefore it bothers me less, or if I'm just getting used to it or what. And I don't have the screen cranked up all the way, so a lot of the time I'm walking around and the screen brightness is just all the way up. So like when I'm taking pictures and stuff, and I forget to turn it back down. So maybe that's so maybe that's making a difference here, and I just turn it up, and yeah, I think maybe that does make a difference. I don't know. I mean, it must not be like the most evil thing in the world, because otherwise they wouldn't have used it and nobody would make it. But what's the advantage of Pentile?
Well, power management, is cheaper to make and supposedly looks better in the sun. You know, how any of that really works out in real world performance, who knows? Sure. But that's what we're said. You know, that's what is told to us.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, on an LTE device, I would almost completely accept Pentile, even if I don't like it. If it,
I hear you.
any possibility of helping the battery life, I think. Speaking of battery life, I mean, so far, seems okay. I mean, I think people are going to report better battery life and automatically think, you know, hey, it's the dual-core processor or whatever, or they fixed something. But we do have to remember this thing has a 1,735 milliamp-hour battery in it. So you're going to get more no matter what, right?
And people have been telling everybody tips and tricks to extend your battery on an LTE phone for 3 months now.
Yeah.
That's going to make a difference, too.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing, too, I mean, it's not that much bigger. It's what is it? Like,
exactly.
10, it's 10% bigger than the Charge. It's like
exactly
15 or 20% bigger than the Thunderbolt. And it's a gas tank, right?
Yeah, it's the equivalent of buying one of those stock size extended batteries, you know, that Sadio makes.
Yeah.
And that's usually one of my first buys, like when I actually buy a phone for myself, is to get one of those batteries and just use it. And that way I have a separate battery, too. I did get the extended battery as well, and we've got a post up on that because I know a lot of people are wanting to know about that, especially
and
because
they did a good job with that, man.
They did really good job with that. Because I've got the, and watch the video, I put it up next to the Thunderbolt, the extended battery. And I use the Thunderbolt extended battery, like as my spare battery when I'm traveling and stuff. I need it, right? You have to have it. And they did a really good job on the design of that with the Bionic. I mean, it's still thick, and it still adds a little bit of size to this thing, but not a lot. And it really does well in keeping the design. Whereas on the Thunderbolt, it's this blocky thing that just juts out from the back of the phone.
Yeah, on the Thunderbolt, it's an afterthought. But on the Bionic, it looked like, you know, they actually designed it.
I think
while
that's
they were
exactly
making
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did so another phone like that, too. I don't remember which one it was, but they did. Mm-hmm. Was it the Droid X? There's another one they did that with as well. I'd rather really carry good. Around three batteries. I like just charge a bunch at night and then just like then just have this humongous thing in my hands.
Well, I mean, the
that's
like the phone's big. What's a little more? I mean, that's not going to kill me. But no, they did a really nice job with that. So I'm a little less concerned about the battery. Hey, you know what else I like that they did? And they did this on the extended battery door, too. So there's a little sticker on the back that circles the noise-canceling microphone. And it says, for best results, or for best audio quality, do not cover. And it says, do not cover that little hole. That's awesome, because actually, way back, I think it was the original Droid days, or maybe the Droid X, I forget. One of the phones that had a noise-canceling mic kind of in that same position. A bunch of cases at first would cover that up and just not realize it.
Yeah, that was the Droid X, yeah.
Yeah, I remember meeting with a case company, and the guy's like, hey, look at this, watch. And he pulls out a competitor's case and slaps it on there. And he's like, they cover the hole, dumbasses. But it's nice to see Motorola kind of proactively pointing that out. So, I mean, just a really good consumer feature. So now it's not just a nerdy noise-canceling mic that nobody cares about, right? Same thing with the battery, actually. Instructions under the battery door to tell you how to put it back on the right way. You know, you put it on starting at the bottom and then snap your way up top. Same thing for getting the battery out. Now, one interesting thing, and I saw somebody else in the forums had the same problem, is with the extended battery. I couldn't get it out. I almost pulled off a fingernail.
Really?
I wasn't the only one. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
It was really tight?
I finally just had to like shake it and pound it and pop it out that way. But odd that I wasn't the only one. I'm surprised.
Does it have that weird... I haven't looked close enough. Does it have that weird tab thing?
No. No weird tab to pull like on the Droid X, which is good. You know what it does have that was weird, though? So it's got a SIM card because it's an LTE phone, right? SIM card fits in slides in fitways. It fits in sideways. I've never seen one do that. Right, most of the time they go in long ways, and this one goes in sideways. It's bizarre.
Huh.
And it's cool, and the SD card rests right on top of it. Really seeing some cool ways of doing the SD cards and the SIM cards now that don't take up a lot of space. And ingenious.
They gave you a lot of storage.
Yeah, they did. I want to say, I forget, I've got it written down. I want to say I've got like 8 gigs free internal plus the 16 gigabyte SD card. And then...
Well, what about the app storage?
Is it 1.5 or 3? Am I still turned on? Let's see. I've got it all written down in the review.
So a lot of people ask about this. They're like, why does it only say it has 8 gigs left when it's supposed to have 16? It actually uses all that for program files, right? To come with it in the OS and all that.
Right. So the OS is taking up a bunch. You've got I have 3.53 left to install apps, and I've got a few on.
Okay.
Not many right
now. That's better than average, but that's still 12 too little. Come on, guys. Build the phones and just open it wide up, all of it for apps or whatever. Just do it.
I've got 22 gigabytes on there. I can use whatever I want. That's not
bad. Well, until you put too many apps on it.
How many apps add up to 8 gigs?
But every time we say
today's apps?
Put them on your storage card.
Who thought we'd run out of app space when the Nexus 1 came out?
Exactly.
And now look today. Apps are 3 times as big.
Who keeps looking longingly at his Nexus 1, hoping that he'll have room on it someday? This guy.
Jerry, all you have to do is wait 3 months. There'll be another phone that comes out with a little bit of a bump up, and you're going to get eventually, around March, you'll have what you want.
I've got 32 gigs of app storage on my Nexus 1. No SD card, but I got all the apps I want.
So let's round up the Bionic. We've been talking about it for a long time now. It's a good phone. It's a really good phone. I don't think it could live up to the hype that we all helped create. Sorry, Moto. Sorry, Verizon. But it is a really good phone. And at this point, even after, 10 hours of use, I would probably recommend it in a heartbeat. I would especially recommend it over Droid X2, unless you just absolutely don't live in an LTE area and never will. It's definitely a big thing. David screaming in the chat room mentioning the cable issue for the mobile dock. So there, I've mentioned it. I got to play with the accessories some more. So just getting into that. But look for the full review soon. We are knee deep into it, and actually, we've got some cool things in store for that. Did I forget anything? It's not bad for 10 hours of work.
it is a very in the forums. It's very popular. It goes right up there at the top with the Thunderbolt and some of the other devices we've seen.
So. Oh, yeah. No,
they like talking about it.
And it should. Yeah, it absolutely should. All right, I want Alex to talk a little bit about Sony Ericsson, because they've got some really cool stuff coming out, and you were at this big event last night, right?
I was, and I've just been sitting here with LTE envy for the past 30 minutes, so got to actually talk about something that we can get and you can't. So a bunch of phones... Well, not necessarily announced yesterday, but shown to us for the first time yesterday. Kind of mid-range by our standards, really. Even the high-end one, it's not dual-core. It's pretty fast, but not dual-core. So we saw the Arc S for the first time. Basically, it's an Xperia Arc. It's the same thing that we've been seeing. I think you guys saw it first at MWC, didn't you?
Yeah, and I don't think we have it here in the States at all, unless you import it. How thin is that? I can't remember if it's thinner than the Galaxy S2, but it's real
close. It's as thin as the Galaxy S2.
Yeah.
Stop!
It's about the same. Nice. Actually, I think you can now get it in the US. You can get it through Sony directly, but it only works on AT&T, and it's about $600.
Oh, wow.
Well, so is the Galaxy S2 if you want to import it. So.
yeah, true.
So
we saw the Arc S, which is pretty much just a faster version of the Arc. Software is the same, colors are different, but it's pretty much the same phone with a slightly faster CPU. So things like web page rendering, camera startup time, I think the reps are saying is faster on that. Besides that, it's the same phone that we all know and love, except all of you guys. that's all good. The other phones that we saw were pretty much mid-range offerings, and the most interesting one I think was the Xperia Active, which is Sony Ericsson's answer to all these ruggedized phones that we've been seeing. So it's a water-resistant phone that's I think 3 inches diagonally, very very tiny, rubber back, water-resistant. I think up to about a meter for 30 minutes. So that's, I mean, like, you're not going to be
a meter is like what, 50 feet, right?
I'm kidding.
Metric system, Royale, cheese. Yeah. Sorry, go on. Continue.
Right. Yeah, so the Xperia Active looks very nice. I mean, I kind of made fun of the, well, I can't even pronounce what it's called, that Casio thing that you had for a while, Phil.
The just G's
looked,
one.
I know. The G's one, yeah, that one. And you know, it actually looks like a decent phone that you could use and not, you know, get laughed at all the time.
It did. I mean, yeah. It looked just like one big giant slab that, like, you could probably drive over, right?
Yeah. I mean, you probably wouldn't be able to drive over the Active, but at the same time, you're not going to have to worry about, you drop it in a puddle, it's still going to be there, and it's dust resistive as well. So, you know, you can probably rub it into the dirt, and it's still, you can still clean it off, and it'll be fine. The big thing as well about the Active is it's got more or less the same specs as all of Sony Ericsson's devices. So what they do is they effectively release their high-end device first and then keep the same specs and just kind of scale the size down over time. So the chip that is in the Active, and also the Ray, which I'll talk about in a second, is the same 1 gig dual core Snapdragon that's in the Arc and the Neo and the Play and everything else. So it's a ruggedized phone. It's not all that expensive, but you still get, you know, the fast CPU in there. And, you know, the same software that you get on the high-end stuff as well.
Now, what's this live dock?
Oh, well, the live dock is, I mean, I think was it Motorola that did it, that sort of did it first with the Photon and phones like that? It's Sony Ericsson's answer to that kind of thing. Gotcha. So it's pretty like much just a, yeah, and it enables some sort of basic USB host capability in there as well, which is built into the software, which they've sort of patched on top of Jin. So the demo that they had set up was big Sony TV connected to the live dock, ARC-S connected in there, HDMI going in the top, live dock connector in the bottom, and you had your phone interface on the TV, browsing, Angry Birds, whatever, controlled with a mouse and keyboard connected wirelessly through a dongle that's actually attached to the back of the live dock. And because it's proper USB host, what that means is that you can, you know, you can put anything in there, basically. It doesn't have to be Bluetooth. It doesn't have to be any kind of proprietary nonsense. Plug any keyboard in there, and it will work.
Mm. And that's actually been added in. Was it, Jerry, was it Android 3.2 they were adding that in, or 3.1?
Yeah. Yeah, 3.2, I think, has host built in now.
So it's all getting added in. Not quickly enough for my liking, but...
Yeah. I mean, this is a proprietary solution to it, but at the same time, you can use it with any manufacturer's stuff, which is quite nice.
That it for SE? SE does good stuff. I mean, we've always said it. Sony Ericsson makes some really cool and interesting things. They got really beat up last year because of the whole X10 lack of update.
Yeah, probably rightfully so. I mean, they've really cleared up their act this year, and the stuff they've released, I don't think we haven't really seen a bad phone from them. Even the Neo, which the design was kind of weird. The actual experience itself was solid, and the software worked, and they've been updating it on time.
My little Neo, I love that phone.
Do you really?
I do. Oh, they had one at Google I.O., and I think they got tired of looking at me playing with it. I love that phone.
Well, actually, the one I was going to talk about that before the show was the Xperia Ray, which is like a redesigned version of the Neo. Solid unibody brushed metal shell. I think slightly smaller screen than the Neo. I think it's 3.3.
I guess a big question at this point is, are the U.S. carriers ever going to come back to SE?
Well, yeah, that's very good question.
I think we had one picked up here. AT&T got the X10, I believe, but only for like a month, and then it just disappeared.
Why is that? I mean, is there something that just kind of
happened? Because it launched with Eclair and then didn't get updated for like 12 months.
Surely that's the carrier's fault as much as the manufacturer, or am I reading that backwards?
No, that was about half and half. I think that one was probably more SE, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I was reading today that SE just replaced a bunch of their people at the top in the US. So maybe that's, you know, I mean, part of their strategy to get things sorted over there. I mean, we were at a separate thing, me and one of our other writers, Richard Devine, last week, which was more of a gaming type of event. And they were saying, look, the US is part of a big part of our strategy. And they showed us a bunch of ads that they're showing on Verizon for the Play. But at the same time, that's the only device they really have over there that you can buy right. That's actually subsidized. So,
well, yeah. And speaking of the Play, AT&T announced today that you can get theirs on the 18th for
it's really cheap,
bucks,
isn't it?
Which is ridiculous. Yeah, it's awesome. That's pretty cool. Oh, by the way, we need to, in Jerry and Corey and everybody else out there, I'm not sure you guys have heard this. So, Alex, you actually moonlighted and went to an HTC thing last week, right?
I did. That's, yeah.
It was a Windows Phone thing.
It was a Windows Phone thing. We didn't actually know that going into it. I mean, we kind of suspected, but... Right. So that's what we did after, you know, sort of rushing away almost from the Sony Ericsson event, running madly across London to try and find out where we were going. And so we met up with Rich and Jay from WP Central, and we got down into this big sort of almost like a club type area that Sony Ericsson HTC had put on for us. And loads and loads of people there. I think we had about 1,500 signing up on the Facebook group, and it can't have been far off that the number of people that actually turned up. But the phones we got to look at were pretty good. They're really stepping up their game for the Windows Phone side of things, HTC.
What did you think compared to Android? Because, I mean, I haven't used Windows Phone in a year now. I helped cover the launch of it, but it's come a long way. Android has come a long way since then. What did
it
you
has.
Think comparing the two?
The UI is very nice. The actual hardware is, you know, it's good HTC hardware. The Titan, which was the big one, is a gigantic 4.7-inch device, really, really thin. One that I actually won in some bizarre turn of events.
They are so pissed at you, the WP Central guys.
Yeah, I was saying, because we were standing around, there's this big sort of, it was the last Titan they were giving away, and there's big
around.
these things are so popular, and as a measure of how popular they were, every single person that won one of the new phones was booed as they went up to collect it.
Really?
Yeah. The look on those guys' faces when I got back, they both wanted to murder me. I'll be getting that in the next month or so, and we'll see how that goes. But the hardware on the Titan is actually very nice. It reminds me a lot of the Sensation. It's got that kind of weird clip-out mechanism. If you want to take the back off, where the back is actually the whole shell of the phone, you just flip the screen. The screen itself actually looks very nice as well. You don't have the weird sort of discoloration when you change viewing angles that you get on some of the, I think, the Evo and Sensation screens. So the hardware's good. The software's coming along pretty well as well.
I think Windows Phone is going to end up probably being a strong number three.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of possible. A dark horse, right? Especially with all the tablet stuff that Microsoft's doing, that maybe that could creep in and be a threat to Android, you know, growing more in the tablet space as well.
I know this isn't a Windows Phone podcast, but the little bit I've played with it, it is a great step in the right direction from Microsoft, and I welcome it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I forget who was saying that or which podcast it was. I think it might have been one of the Mobile Nations ones, saying how strange it is now that Microsoft actually has style.
Yeah.
Yep.
This will go to show how much I played with it. Is it customizable at all, or is it just kind of what you get is what you get?
It's customizable to about the level that the iPhone is, I think.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It.
So you can change colors and stuff, but and move things around. But beyond that,
it's a good unified experience. I'm hoping to see Android kind of go in that direction a little bit, and ICS maybe. I mean, on one hand, I hate to say, you know, lock it down. Let's lock it down just a little bit, maybe, just a little bit, tiny bit. No. Just me.
Dude,
Jerry's probably
lock it down a little bit and then have the Nexus.
I'm either biting my lip or turning my mic off.
All right. Let's move on a little more. I got to play with the Samsung Vitality on Cricket Communications. I keep wanting to say Cricket Wireless. I'm new to Cricket. How am I new to Cricket? Like, you say Cricket and people are just excited. Like, they love Cricket. Anyone who's ever used Cricket loves them. So this is kind of a mid-level phone, 3.5 inches, I believe. 800 megahertz processor. So I forgot it was Samsung at first. Never mind the fact that it says Samsung down at the bottom, because it very much looks like an Optimus One from LG, and probably behaves the same. It's been a long time since I used the Optimus One. It's got a 320 by 480 touchscreen, so it's not high resolution, and that took a little getting used to. But the thing's fast, it's speedy enough. But the big thing here is it's $200, no contract, and I believe I screwed that up in the video and said $200 on contract. Cricket doesn't do contracts. $200 for the phone, and then $65 a month for unlimited voice, unlimited 3G data, and unlimited music with this Move system, M-U-V-E. And it's basically you download it through Move, download everything you want. You can only do it over the 3G connection, which, unfortunate, but I understand why.
Yep.
Just because I prefer to have the choice to download over Wi-Fi if I can, right? It's just faster, period. But for all intents and purposes, a nice little phone. You know, if they could have put like a 5-megapixel camera in there, perfect. Awesome, awesome mid-level phone at that point. You know, 3.2, fine, you can live with it. But, you know, bump up the camera as best you can. And the music works well, good selection. Actually pretty quick to download, even on 3G. So if you're in an area where you can get Cricket, definitely check it out. Oh, and it's also got the SD card on the outside. It's like there's a little door you open it up. And
yeah, that looked neat. That's
not often we've seen that. I forget, we've seen a couple phones in the last year where you could do that. But not many at all.
So if you're on Cricket, if you're using Cricket, whose network are you really on?
I believe it's Sprint.
Okay.
I think that's right. It's either Sprint or Verizon.
But it's not like all Sprint. It's just right. Part. It just if one of these prepays would go nationwide, I mean, man, that would just be great. Oh, yeah. But
so no, you're getting, for $60 a month on Cricket, you're getting everything. Mm-hmm. If what is it on Sprint? Like 80?
Yeah.
So
yeah. It used to be $100, I think.
I think Sprint now is $79.99 for unlimited data and messaging, but unlimited cell to cell. Then you got the $10 fee. I mean, who the heck knows?
Well, and that's, you know, that's not counting the music on here, so that's a big deal.
Right.
And actually, it's a huge deal because, you know, you get nickel and dimed, and I understand this is kind of part of their pitch as well, but you get nickel and dimed anywhere else, right? Like a dollar for a song, a dollar for a ringtone, whatever. So this has music that you can download and listen to. It has ringtones. It has those ring back things, which personally I don't like at all. So like if I call Jerry, Jerry sets the ring back number for me, and then that's what I hear is the phone's ringing.
Ooh.
So you can get those. Yeah, really? Scary, huh? So you can get those too.
Bop, bop.
I hate that.
But the fact that you can get all that for $65 a month, and it's just a flat fee, and that's pretty awesome, I think.
Yeah.
Speaking of low-end stuff, AT&T announced the Impulse 4G from Samsung. $30, 3.8 inches, froyo. Cool. Not. Why do I keep saying Samsung? It's Huawei.
Huawei.
I said Samsung this morning, too. Probably because it's like the Infuse, and I see Impulse 4G and think of Samsung. No, Huawei, 3.8 inch Froyo device for $30. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Dink's got gingerbread. Woohoo!
Yay!
God. That's a big deal, actually. Yeah.
It is.
A lot of Dinks out there.
They are really, at least they're still supporting that phone. That's awesome.
Absolutely. They're damn well better. It's a year and a half old, right?
Remember how angry people were when there were rumors that it wasn't going to get gingerbread.
Oh, I forgot about those rumors. Those were horrible rumors. What else? What else? What else? Anything we forgot about that you guys want to talk about?
The Prime. I want to talk the Prime.
What about the Prime?
What's new?
Yeah, what is new?
Still doesn't exist.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what's new. Actually, it's not new. Everybody keeps asking, and the forums are all upset. They're like, should I get the Prime or the Bionic? Which one is going to be better? And I have an answer for that. It doesn't matter. Just look at the two, and whichever meets your style. Like, if you look at it visually and you like the Bionic, get the Bionic. If you like the Prime, get the Prime.
Spec-wise, how do we know what the Prime is visually, though? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, you can make some pretty good guesses based on what the... I don't think it's going to be a huge deviation from the Galaxy S2. I mean, I'd be surprised.
No, Hand of Death in the chat room has it right. Look at the 1, because the Prime is not real yet. Right? I mean, you can't... You can't say that.
I pre-ordered
one. Well, is this
one
phone
today
better than the one that doesn't exist yet?
No, stop it.
Yeah, some retailer put one up for pre-order. You know, don't fall for those. Why do you... Oh, I hate that.
Fast is fast. I mean, for the general person that's using email and web browsing and doing all this stuff, the Bionic's going to be fast for them. This supposed Prime is probably not going to be spec'd out any worse than the Bionic. It's going to be fast. The only differences are going to be aesthetics and the screen.
And the software.
But the Prime has vanilla Android, says Matt W. in the chat room.
Okay, so well, the Bionic is going to as well. Give it like 5 weeks. Give it like a week, and somebody's going to have hacked that thing, right, and you're going to be able to do whatever you want with it.
Or you just put a launcher on it. That's what I do. I mean, look, as much as I was just raving about the new Filbler, and it's pretty good, you know, I would still put ADWEX on it, because that's what I like, and that's what I use. And it would run fine. It will run fine.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not that big a deal saying, you know, oh, it's got stock Android. Well, I mean, so what does that mean? That doesn't really mean anything. So, yeah, the Prime's not here yet. It's coming. Although Eric Schmidt did say October, November, which...
I have a theory. So
what?
The original Droid came out on the 17th of October 2 years ago. And that is right around, so if they did something in October this year, that's right around the same time as the, you know, Bionic came out and people see your contracts are going to be expiring and they're going to need some, I think they're going to have some huge like media, you know, I think they're going to do something special around that time.
Could it be because there might be another phone coming out from, I don't know, someone else around that time?
Maybe.
Maybe another phone Moto device. Referring to, Alex?
I couldn't possibly say.
Maybe yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't really think they're going to announce ice cream sandwich and whatever, you know, in response to Apple. I really hope not anyway. You know, it's coming. It's going to come about a year after that we got the last Nexus. I mean, that just makes sense. You wouldn't do it that much sooner. You know, and there's still confusion over this Verizon Droid Prime, and, you know, I hate to say we've been spreading those as well, but we have, right? I mean, we were the first ones, I was the first one to say, you know, Nexus Prime on Verizon with ice cream sandwich. But now, you know, it's getting muddied. Is it a Nexus Prime? Is it a Droid Prime? Is it separate? I don't know. I'm confused.
Droid Charge 2. I'm going to say it until somebody proves me wrong.
We'll find out. And we'll find out soon enough. You guys want to do some emails and voicemails?
Yeah, we ought to. We missed those last week.
We should. Did we not do any?
I think we missed the emails last week. Here I am thinking of it.
We've got some good emails, too.
Yes,
all right,
we do.
Let's start with voicemails, then. And we shall start with Josh.
Hi, this message is for the Android Central podcast. My name is Josh from San Diego. Can you guys give me a reason to go to Android? I've had the iPhone for quite a long time. I had the iPhone 3G and iPhone 4. I've played around. I've actually had the Samsung Captivate, which I think was a total dud. I've also had the HTC Fire, and now the new Samsung phone, Galaxy, I believe it is. But I keep going back to the iPhone. If you can give me some reasons on why, because I really like Android, despite the fact about the openness. It really doesn't make any difference to me whether it's open or closed. I don't make apps, so it doesn't make any difference. And if it's iTunes, let me know why. What's wrong with iTunes? Thank you very much. I love the show.
I hate iTunes because I just do. I mean, it doesn't work well with my brain. I like putting music on, you know, in folders and then copying those folders over and just browsing or whatever. I mean, to me, that makes sense. Playlists don't make sense.
I'm just going to dive in here and say you can do that with iTunes. It will let you do that.
Quiet you.
It won't let me do that.
No.
No.
You're holding it wrong, Jerry. you're holding it wrong.
No, they're not smart enough to make a Unix program work on Linux.
Well, they have an update that comes out every 3 days, so it does keep changing.
iTunes is so clunky. It really is. I mean, that's my thing. Why use Android over the iPhone? Honestly, I would say it depends on what your needs are.
Use what you like.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's preference.
Yeah.
If absolutely. Josh likes the iPhone, hey, dude, use the iPhone. Love that sucker.
You need to try the Galaxy S2 phones. No, he needs to try the Galaxy S2 because it's a world of difference over something like the Captivate.
Base it on the Captivate.
The Captivate was kind of a weirdly designed Galaxy S phone to begin with. It was probably the biggest departure from the original Galaxy S, from the stock Euro Galaxy S. Don't let that kind of ruin you. I mean, asking me, all right, why do I like Android? I know this is kind of a big overarching question. I like it because it's not Apple. Start with that, because I don't like, politically, I don't like the way Apple conducts itself a lot of the times. Android's just a little more intriguing to me. I don't want to be the lowest common denominator. I don't mind having to think a little bit about what I'm doing. And with the iPhone, you don't, right? Apple's taking care of that for you, for better or for worse. That's one of the reasons my wife uses one, because she doesn't want to think about that stuff. And there's a lot about Android, and we'll talk about this here in a second, another email or voicemail, I forget which. But there's a lot in Android that I don't want to think about anymore, and maybe I'm just busy, maybe I don't care anymore. But Android's doing a good job of keeping up with that, too. I don't know. But you guys, keep it short, tell me what you think.
I use Android because at the end of the day, if I'm bored and want to sit down at my computer and type a few commands and make software that I want, I can load it and go. That's why I use Android.
Alex?
Now
gone, Corey.
No. I mean, I don't have anything valuable, but I was going to say, it is personal preference. I like it because I can customize it. I'm not stuck with one interface, and there is I won't go into them, but there's about six things that just, like, one of them was attachments on the iPhone. It was really weird. Like, it seems like I only had it for like a day and took it back, but like in an email, I couldn't add an attachment without, like, I could add a pay. I don't know. Something weird. There's like just all these things that are just not great about it. And I like being able to sort of like go in and change the launcher and be able to go in and, pick between a whole bunch of different apps that Apple locks you into, like the email app and all that. So that's me. Yeah. But it's all preference, right? It's what you pick up, what you like.
That's kind of what I was going to say. For me, it's all about choice. In not just choice in how you use the phone, choice in the hardware in the first place. You're not forced to, be happy with one form factor. Or, one camera setup, even one button setup. And it's the same with apps, really. You don't have to use Google's App Store.
True.
Good point.
True.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Here comes Mark.
Yeah, hi, this is Mark. My first question is, I'm a member of several different forums, including XDA developers, Android Central, Roots Wiki, PPC Geeks. I'm pretty much all over the place, and I've just been noticing a really big decline in the number of posts and the number of ROMs and the number of mods that have been coming out lately, especially at, big sites like XDA. Just wondering what you guys think about the fact maybe people are just a little more comfortable with leaving their phones stock instead of flashing custom ROMs and doing all these mods and themes and tweaks. It's just a little concerning to me, being a phone enthusiast and always rooting and unlocking my phones, even back in the early, Windows Mobile days. Just wanted to see what you guys had to say about that. And I also had a question for Phil, who owns the HTC Thunderbolt. I'm just wondering when Verizon's going to get this phone right, when the battery life is going to get better, and when they're actually going to get some good 4G on here. And that's really all I had for you guys. Like I said, I enjoy the podcast, and I hope you guys can answer these questions for me. Thanks. Bye.
I'll start with Thunderbolt real quick, so I can be quick. I don't think they've gotten it wrong. I think a lot of it is just growing pains in the way it is. LTE is going to use battery life, right? Just like WiMAX does. So that's not necessarily a fault of the hardware. Same thing goes with the speeds. I'm not sure what your trouble is. Or maybe I cut it out of that, actually. if you're in a weird area, we've known from the beginning that the 3G, 4G handoff is clunky and not fast and can be a problem. And, you know, I've seen it at shows. I see it here at home occasionally. You know, when it does hand off, it does so pretty poorly. But most of the time, I have a good 4G connection here. So, I mean, that's not necessarily a fault of the phone. That's just kind of a fault of life. It's a fault of life. It's the way it is. Sorry, it's going to get better at some point. I do agree that something has to happen in battery life at some point. We need some sort of revolutionary leap, some great leap forward that we just haven't gotten in the past, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, I guess.
And Sony Ericsson will probably do it and not release it in the United States.
Oh. Yeah. All right, now what about... go ahead, Alex.
I was going to say, they already have it. It's called not having LTE.
Right. All right. So what about keeping your phone stock? I know I've talked about this before. The only phone I have here that's rooted for me is my Nexus One. Everything else I have is stock, and part of that's what I was talking about a minute ago. I just don't have time to mess with all that stuff anymore. I mean, I keep up with it enough for my job, but you know, personally, I've got 2 daughters running around, and like, I just need something I don't think about every now and then. We went through this with Windows Mobile too, right? You know, people would flash ROMs, you know, daily for 6 months and then kind of burn out on it. So, you know, we've all seen that.
Go ahead, Corey.
That's not because the stock phone is lacking. I mean, people do it because they're enthusiasts and they want to. I don't think you know, buying an Android phone is synonymous. Like, you have to go start flashing ROMs and rooting it and all that stuff to make it work. I root mine to get the bloatware off of it, but I don't flash ROMs on it. I like the way it works.
Yeah, and that's a good question. Is going through the trouble of rooting and then taking yourself off the upgrade path, is that a big enough deal to get rid of the bloatware? Is that a fair trade-off?
It kind of is.
I'm going to answer that real quick. It's a little off the track, but no, it's not. And yet everybody's going to be shocked, and everybody can send me the hate mail. My Nexus One isn't even rooted. I went ahead and went back to it, stock out of the box, and you know what? It makes phone calls, it gets my email, it does GTalk, it does what I need it to do, and I don't ever have to fool with it.
Yeah, but now, do you have a service running in the background that says Blockbuster and like City ID and all this stuff?
No, but you know what? If I did, I wouldn't care as long as it made the phone calls and got my messages. I have another phone that I can monkey with. You know, that's different. If I want to get in and monkey with my phone, that's cool. You know.
Yeah, but, I mean, but we talked about it last week. Somebody else asked about that, and I think our answer was don't root. Right? I mean, like, unless you have a specific reason to do it, doing it for the hell of it just isn't worth it.
Right. But as far as the decline of customization for phones, I think kind of what he's seeing is he's got a Thunderbolt. The newness has wore off. Development for the Bionic is going to be huge for a month. Then the next new phone's going to come out. These guys that do that kind of stuff, they do it because they love to tinker with phones and they just jump to what's new. You know, it's not that nobody cares about the Thunderbolt anymore. They accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. They say, hey, look what I was able to do. I like the way this is. Now I'm ready to move to the next one.
Well, you talk about the luster and the shine wearing off in the Thunderbolt, I think you can also say that literally. Like, hardware-wise, it's not that it's fallen apart. Because, you know, the kickstand is still there. I've got a bunch of nicks and scratches on mine. But it's just I've never had this happen to an HTC phone. I've never had like the paint start to wear off, or you know, it's got metal on, you know, the kickstand is metal and it had something like peel off of it, and just bizarre.
It's only
never had that happen
old.
Before. And, yeah.
I was going to say, could it be that we just this is kind of a crazy theory, but could we just have too many phones now? Could it be that the developers that we have got are just split too thin and further between?
Very well could be.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's a finite amount of people with a finite amount of time. Yeah. You know, then you have something weird like the Touch Droid thing coming, the HP touchpad. People are putting attention on that when I would much rather see them, put their attention toward hardware that people will actually have and use. And now there's politics involved in the Touch Droid thing, and, it's just a big mess, and it's unfortunate. Meanwhile, we have, the Zoom and the Galaxy 10.1. And speaking of politics, did you see the 7.7, which was announced at IFA last week in Berlin? They had to pull it off the show floor.
Yeah.
Another injunction. Yeah. I mean, meanwhile, you have that, and it's like, there's just so much crap going on. I'd much rather see people focus on the stuff they can actually work with. That's me. But no, I mean, to answer your question, no. I mean, you absolutely do not have to root to use your phone and to use it well and to get the most out of it. I would absolutely not agree with that. And people will feel different. And if I open up a chat room, I'm sure I'm getting yelled at. But these phones work really, really well out of the box now. And there's still a whole lot you can do without having to root them. Right?
Right. We're not dealing with the hero anymore.
All right. Let's go to the last voicemail. And it is from Paul.
Hey, this is for the Android Central Podcast. My name is Paul. My question is more of an opinion question. Do you guys feel the Droid branding is a bit too much? At the end of the day, these are all just phones, and I just kind of feel like Verizon's maybe overdoing it with the whole Droid persona they're applying to these phones. Do you think it's helping or hurting their Android phones? Thanks.
Josh Munoz is in the chat room screaming, it got us to where we are, and he's absolutely right. Is it overkill at this point? Maybe. And Jerry was laughing at me earlier as this Bionic starts screaming Droid at me. And God, I forgot how much I hate that every time we get a new one of these here. But no, I think the Droid branding was genius. Whoever came up with that better have gotten a raise.
Alex! Yep. I'd love to hear what you think about this, because we get a little bit of blinders on. We see Verizon anytime we're near a television here in the States.
There's not really any kind of unified, Android brand. I know that's not really what the Droid is, but any kind of unified Android browsing in Europe that I know of, really. I think the Car Phone Warehouse kind of tried to do it, and they just sort of adopted the little bug Droid character. I kind of have blinders on as well, just because I'm not subjected to any of this, so it's a little weird. I don't know.
I remember my very first Droid. I got it in the mail and I powered it up, and it had something was wrong with it, and it kept doing that Droid thing over and over, like it wouldn't stop. I had to take it back. And I was coming from the Touch Pro 2, and I was like, oh my god, what have I got myself into here? And it was a mess.
Emails?
I think Apple got it right, though. They do a device every year, and it does seem like the market's a little oversaturated. Like HTC, all of them come out with this new device every couple of months, and it's just a bump up in the specs, and I'd like to see him just get one device really good once a year.
Verizon's done too many, I will say that. And talking to one of my sources in Verizon, I mean, there are a lot more coming and a lot more they're working on. I mean, they're not slowing down any. It's almost like they're just trying to bludgeon the other carriers to death with so many Android phones. And, that was one of my criticisms from CES, is that they tried to do too much at one time.
I love it. There's, I don't care what you want. There's a choice out there for you. Keep them coming. Corey, you can think the way you think, and I understand how that makes sense to a lot of people. I'm the absolute other way. If I want to go buy that new, phone on Cricket and it suits my needs, hell, I should be able to. And on the other hand, I should be able to go get a Bionic. Whatever I want, I'm glad there's an option for it.
Well, fine.
Fine.
Do that.
As long as it's not a Sony Ericsson that they won't let me have here in the States. Damn you, Sony.
But HTC has some new phone on the drawing board they're going to release in, like, December or January.
and then they'll have another new one in February that's just going to be one tiny thing different with it. But maybe somebody wants that one tiny thing different. They should be allowed to have it. Don't hate them, Corey.
No. Oh, my God. Thanks a lot. Oh, boy. You got me in trouble there.
I'm just kidding. I see where you're coming from, and it does make a lot of sense to, oh, my God, how much would the case makers love it if things slowed down to one a year from, you know, per carrier, but...
Oh, they'd hate it. No, that'd be horrible. They wouldn't sell anything.
Oh, you're right. They'd sell once
and
a year.
I would hate it as well.
Yeah.
All right, let's do some emails. Who wants to start?
Well, I'll start. Francisco writes, I'm looking into jumping from my Torch and Blackberries in general to an Android phone. I was really excited when I read about a slider variant Galaxy phone for AT&T last July, but disappointed when it was a no-show at the Galaxy announcement. My wife and I love having a physical keyboard, but I also want a phone that is powerful, and this phone seemed to fit the bill. Have you guys heard anything more about this phone, or can you guesstimate when it'll be released, i.e. this year or next? No. It's kind of just disappeared.
Yeah. I mean, not the first time we've seen this happen. And that wasn't that long ago, right? July 25th. We could still get it, right? I mean, there's still the Stratosphere coming on Verizon.
It's sliding.
Looking at this again. So this is... this is a render. This isn't a real phone. So start with that.
Right.
And that's a big difference.
And I was told personally that by somebody who is in a position that might know, they have never seen or heard of that a phone like that coming to AT&T.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if someone put a keyboard on any of the three Galaxy S2s that you guys saw last week? How huge would that thing be, depth-wise?
But it would be wonderful for a lot of people, like myself. I'm with Francisco. I would love to, you know, I use T-Mobile. Show me a Hercules with a nice 5-row keyboard on it, and you have a sale.
That's not to say that this phone probably didn't exist at some point, and that renders weren't made, but that doesn't mean that AT&T was definitely going to pick it up. Go back to a conversation I had at Mobile World Congress, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, with HTC, and... really got some good background on like how it all works. So like at that same time that they were showing us all this cool new stuff behind the scenes, you know, the manufacturing execs are showing the carrier reps and all that, the next thing.
All right.
So, I mean, there's stuff like this floating around all the time. And when we see these giant roadmap leaks, and we haven't seen any of those in a while, actually. Right. And if you've ever seen the old HTC ones, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Those are like menus. And it's fun to go back into those, especially, you know, like 2, 3, 4 years ago, you know, the Windows Mobile ones, you'd see huge leaks. And those are like menus that HTC says, here's what we're looking at making. You guys tell us what you like, what you don't like. What can we, you know, help tweak for you? You know, pick and choose off the menu, whatever you want. So that's where a lot of this comes from. So just because you see a leaked render absolutely does not mean that, you know, it's going to come to fruition. Period.
Right. Well, even more than a render, we could even see pictures of this device, actual physical pictures, and that doesn't mean it's going to ever. Exactly. They make a lot of phones to show to people to try to sell them on the idea.
All right. Simon writes, the contract on my HTC Desire ends in October, just in time for Ice Cream Sandwich. And although a Sensation or maybe a Galaxy S2 topped my list, I wonder if the next generation phones will be buttonless like Honeycomb tablets. If so, do you think it'll be a good idea to hold on to my Desire for a few more months? I think whatever the next phone is going to be buttonless. And yes, I would hold on.
Yep.
yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
If you've got a good phone now, don't buy anything till New Year's.
That's not to say the Sensation is a bad phone or the Galaxy S2 is a bad phone.
Oh, no. It's an excellent phone.
And it'll still be an excellent phone at New Year's if you decide that's what you want.
Absolutely.
But at least wait and, you know, find out what it is and then you're a bit more informed.
Always wait for a month after a phone comes out. Read about all the bugs and things people are saying about it. Then buy it.
Or get it the first day and come help out in the forums.
Yeah. And after saying that, all of us will run out and buy a new phone the instant we see it. That's who we are.
I don't practice what I preach.
No. All right, who's next?
Paul writes, my wife and I have the original Droid, and we're just about ready to get new phones. I'm not going to hand down the old phones to the kids because I don't need more data contracts on my bill, and I'm trying to figure out what to do with them. I could eBay them, Craigslist them, Gazelle it, but I'm wondering how they could fit on the gadget specs in our home. MP3 players, podcast players, Wi-Fi, web access, alarm clock in the dock, etc. Any tips? Websites, etc., for how to repurpose your old Android phone.
He answered his own question, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's fun. Get them all charged up, turn them all on, sign into Google on all of them, and then hide them somewhere where your wife's working, and then send yourself a message. And especially they all go off at once. Something. Yeah.
Droid.
Oh my God. No.
Droid. Bernard writes, I want to know the difference between a Verizon CDMA phone versus an LTE 4G phone as it concerns blacklisting ESNs. I know if I buy a Verizon 3G phone off Craigslist, I will need to have the ESN checked to make sure it's clean. With LTE, do we have to do the same thing, or is everything based on the SIM card and we don't need to worry about a clean ESN? So ESN is like, on a GSM phone, you have SIM cards. On AT&T and T-Mobile, you have SIM cards, and that's what actually identifies the phone to the network. On CDMA networks, Sprint and Verizon, it's baked into the phone in an ESN number. So, like, if the phone's stolen, you know, they would blacklist that ESN, and then nobody can use the phone, right? So that's a good question.
I'm going to say voice service is still CDMA.
Right.
So I'm sure that they can still blacklist phones.
No, I'm absolutely sure, too. And Corey, you've changed these things more than I have, but, like, last time I swapped back from the Droid 3 to the Thunderbolt, they had to nuke my LTE SIM card because whatever the deal is, like in Verizon's system, they just have a hell of a time changing these things over, and it was just easier to nuke that SIM card and give me a new one.
They're supposed to give you 90 days.
Well, I mean, I don't care if they give me a new SIM card.
Well, so, okay, let me put it this way. I flip back and forth between many phones. And when I star 228 my Fascinate, it says you need to reactivate your SIM card within 90 days or it'll be completely null and void or whatever. You have to go get a new one. So you have some time. But, you know, to answer the question, you can take your SIM card out of a lot of people are asking today. It's like, do I have to go into the store and have them activate it at the store, the Bionic? Do I have to have them activate it or can I do it when I get home or whatever? The card and the phone are completely separated. It's not even in the box. So when you go to activate it, they'll actually pull the card out of a cabinet. And all the management of that is done separately. So you can stick that card. Once it's activated, you can put it in any phone. And I don't know that they have a way of – maybe they do. I don't know that they have a way of really black – they blacklist this. I don't think they blacklist the phone anymore. I don't know. It's a good question,
but I don't think it's something you need to worry about. I think if the ESN is good, you know, I don't think the LTE SIM card identifies the phone to the network, or if it does, it's not like that tied into it. Or don't buy stolen phones.
Yeah, GSM cards have a serial number too.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure they can keep that.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I mean that's.
I think that's what they're nuking.
Right.
But, yeah.
That's it.
Got something to give away, haven't we?
We got something to give away, and I'm actually typing in the tweet right now. And the winner of our 1,000 Twitter follower contest and winner of the big, giant, droid bionic head is... Enter.
Jerry Hildenbrand.
No, not Jerry Hildenbrand.
Damn it.
Congrats. Mike. A DM is on the way. So, Mike Dobbinsbeck, you won, dude. Congrats. I will be sending you a big, giant alien droid bionic head in a big, giant pelican case that almost broke my toe in the middle of the night in the hallway.
Cool.
Have fun with it in your house. And don't, if you're married, don't put it next to your wife. I'm just saying.
No, you got to go to Radio Shack and get a bunch of LEDs, and you have to.
Halloween.
Yeah, you have to make a shrine, man, and send me pictures.
And with that, I think I'm going to call it a podcast. We're missing Mickey tonight, so I'm going to wrap it up. Is that okay? Is that okay with everybody?
That'll work.
That's when you guys wanted to really
do it.
Yeah. No, we're going to make Alex do it. He has the accent.
Oh, God, right. Be sure to email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. Also get us all on Twitter, except me, because I'm too cool for Twitter. The site is @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickerson. Mickey isn't here. Jerry is @GBHill. Corey is @CStreeter. And you can follow all of our writers on the contact page. It's podcast as ever is brought to you by the Android Central Store. You can find it at store.androidcentral.com or call 888-468-6158.
Voicemail.
Oh, right. You can also leave voicemails at 888-468-6158, extension 222.
I got to say, I don't know if I like Mickey anymore. That was pretty damn good.
Oh, I was going to say, where's Mickey when we need him?
I love Mickey. But
Alex did just good. Fine. Yeah. So that's it, everybody. What do we got coming up? I'm going up to New York next week for another little event. Nothing huge, probably, but stay tuned for that. We've got CTIA coming up in about a month. We've got the big Android barbecue coming up the week before that. We might take next week off the podcast. We'll see how I'm feeling when I get back from New York on Thursday. If not, you know, whatever. We'll get caught up. And that's it.
Well, tell everybody what you're going to New York for.
I'm going to, it's called PepCon.
Okay. Well, I just figured we'd want to mention that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what it is. And honestly, I don't know what we're getting out of it. Like, there's usually, you know, stuff there, post-worthy. Trying to find a way to go to the Big Four, Metallica, Slayer, Anthrax, Megadeth concert the same night. Just saying.
Oh, jeez.
So if we end up not having, like, any coverage whatsoever, that's where I am.
What are they, like, in their 60s now?
Yes.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. Just
Corey. Corey's
hey, well, I was listening to them when I was young, so they got it.
All right, Corey, Jerry, Alex, thank you. Chat room, thank you guys. Everybody listening at home, the recorded version, thank you. We will be back, if not next week, the week after.
Take it easy, everybody.
Good night.
See ya.